The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is still
Groundhog Day.
Yes. It is still Thursday, January 27th, and it is another emergency podcast. Joining me to break down the eternal departure from the NFL of Big Ben Roethlisberger, Ryan Wilson. Wilson. This sad day for you as a Steelers fan is finally upon us. Big Ben Roethlisberger has retired. And when I say sad day, I mean, you're probably happy to be finally moving on.
No, I think you are, which is what you made it sound like when we did HQ. And also worth noting, it is in my contract that John Breach cannot show up when I memorialize Ben Roethlisberger. And I think Debo has some video that might end up making me cry.
Breach is 100% asleep, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. But enough about Breach. Debo, do we have that queued up? I have my tissues ready.
I don't know how to put into words what the game of football has meant to me and what a blessing it has been. While I know with confidence I have given my all to the game, I am overwhelmed with gratitude for all it has given me. A boy from Findlay, Ohio with NFL dreams, developed in Oxford at Miami University, blessed with the honor of 18 seasons as a Pittsburgh Steeler and a place to call home. The journey has been exhilarating, defined by relationships and fueled by a spirit of competition. Yet the time has come to clean out my locker, hang up my cleats, and continue to be all I can be to my wife and children. I retire from football, a truly grateful man.
So the biggest takeaway for me, and this is, I say this as a father, is that when there was the cut to the entire family sitting on the couch, the youngest son on the far right as you're looking at the screen is like, I definitely do not want to be here. I'm trying to play with my Legos. And I got to sit here while my dad reads a sheet of paper. Let's hurry this thing up and get on with it. And I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, first
of all, yourself, Dad, you just said you can't put it into words, but then you're putting it into words.
Like, in a very tiny type on a big sheet of paper. Let's wrap this thing up, old man.
Hey, by the way, shout out to a podcast listener, YouTube podcast viewer, Matt Boatwright, who has been asking for this podcast.
Yeah, there. Look at that poor kid. He's like, come on, dude. If you're watching on YouTube.
I would not have predicted that the Roethlisberger family looked so family-ish.
Yeah, he you know, obviously ago. The last 10 years, I think he tried to sort things out through the grace of Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. But
he's gotten very religious.
But
he's been to church.
That's right. But anyway, I think first ballot Hall of Famer, slam dunk. Hopefully he gets in before Matthew Stafford does, but I don't think there's any dispute about that. top five. Best quarterback in the last 30, 40 years?
I don't know.
No. Just say it, Princeton. You don't have to think about that.
I mean, well, since
2000.
I was going to say since 2004.
All right, since this century.
All right, let's look at Big Ben in context. I'm going to ask you this first. Is he the greatest Steelers player?
Yes. Next question.
Greatest Steelers player of all time?
Yes.
Okay, I was going to say greatest quarterback for sure. Do you think he's the greatest Steelers player of all time? There's some really good Steelers players.
Okay, who's better? Plexico Burress. Who else?
All right. So you think, hands down, no questions asked, greatest Steelers player of all time?
Yes. He's better than Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw won four Super Bowls, but Terry Bradshaw certainly didn't wing the ball around as often and for as long as Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay. I don't have a doubt that he's, I mean, like, Mean Joe Green.
Come on.
Franco Harris. Jerome Bettis.
You're going to make the argument that the running backs are better than Ben Roethlisberger. Okay. No,
I'm just asking Lynn Swan.
There's a lot of Troy Polamalu in the conversations, and I love Troy. Troy's in the conversation as top five, but come on now. All right, what's your other question? Oh, we're doing since this century. Who are the better quarterbacks?
Quarterbacks was so Big Ben, never a member of a losing team in his 18 years with the Steelers. 165 career regular season wins, fifth most by a quarterback in NFL history. 64,088 career passing yards.
Fifth all time. Not fifth since 2000. Fifth all time, Debo. I don't see Donovan McNabb up there. Go ahead.
And one of 12 starting quarterbacks to win multiple Super Bowl titles. Look, there's no questioning. He has more passing yards than Phillip Rivers, Dan Marino. Matt Ryan will probably pass him substantially more than Eli Manning. Aaron Rodgers, kind of a dogfight to catch him. Because Rodgers has 55,360.
Well, Rodgers was drafted in 05, didn't start playing until 08 because the guy named Favre there.
I mean, he has 15,000 more passing yards than Matthew Stafford. Like, he's in
a... Tom Brady.
He's pretty much locked into that number five spot until Matt Ryan passes him, I would think.
Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and then who else?
Breeze.
Breeze. Okay, yep, I'll give you that one. Good one. Debo had that one in the chamber.
No, I mean, at best, I think he's five. You can start to have the conversation around five if we're talking this century. Yeah, that's
right. If we're talking.
I'm waiting for you to bring up your dumb name. Go ahead, say it.
I'm not going
to
suggest that Phillip Rivers would rank above Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, look, Pete Prisco said on HQ that Rivers is the better quarterback, and I agree. I agree with the stance. I think Phillip Rivers is the best quarterback from that draft class. Ben Roethlisberger, by far and away, the best career in that draft class, and then Eli Manning, best last name.
I disagree with that.
Ben and Rivers.
That's fine. And I said this on HQ. Bill Cowher apparently loved Phillip Rivers.
Yep.
And wanted to take him. Obviously, Rivers went top three or whatever. I can't remember the order. And then they also were interested in Sean Andrews, the guard out of Arkansas, who ended up going to Debo Eagles, a few picks later. And the late Dan Rooney said, "Hey, guys, remember that time in 1983 when we passed on Dan Marino and took Gabe Rivera, the nose tackle? Let's not do that again." And that's how they ended up with Roethlisberger. So I don't know how much truth there is to that story. It's a great story to tell. But it was obviously the right decision because it changed the course of that organization.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Cowher, Hall of Fame coach, not because of Big Ben, but certainly solidified it by getting Big Ben and winning that first Super Bowl. And then, you know, I mean, like, when Big Ben got drafted, he was, I vaguely remember it because it was 2004. My goodness, it's been, you know, 18 years.
First year Peel Sox Steelers, if you want to go back and relive every game.
Ryan Wilson's blog spot. The conversation was, okay, Eli, like, Rivers and Eli were definitely going to go ahead of Big Ben, but there were people who were saying Big Ben might be the best guy out of all of these quarterbacks. And I mean, I do think the fact that he went to Pittsburgh, you know, drastically changes how we view him as a player. Like, if he goes to the Chargers, I don't think, and the same can be said for Eli, I don't think you see those guys win two Super Bowls each if they're playing for the Chargers, because the Chargers love the Charger. Going to Pittsburgh, playing for a team that had an elite level defense already in place, that had a good run game and a great head coach, made life a lot easier on Ben out of the gate. He was a game manager early on, which is what you want your rookie quarterbacks to be. You want to be able to pound the football, you know, in the run game. You want to be able to lean on your defense and not ask your rookie quarterback to do too much, particularly in the early 2000s when, you know, high octane passing offenses were still, you know, fairly minimal in terms of, you know, what you saw out there. You're going to show on turf, an exception to the rule. Ben developed into a great quarterback. Had off-field issues, which I'm sure we'll discuss, but, you know, had one of the all-time great throws in Super Bowl history to win that second Super Bowl when he hit Santonio Holmes in the end zone to beat the Cardinals and secure his second Super Bowl. Now, he hadn't been back to the Super Bowl since then, right? He's 2 for 2, I think.
Yeah, 2010 to 2011 Super Bowl. So I'm looking back through Heel Sox Steelers, March 30th, 2004. Yeah. Here's what I wrote. I'm no scout. No one ever asked my opinion, but the Steelers' primary need isn't a quarterback because Tommy Maddox had played serviceably. Oh! In 2002.
You wrote that ahead of the Big Ben, after Big Ben was drafted.
And I don't think it makes sense to take the third best quarterback with the 11th pick. But I will say this. I have always been on the no Phillip Rivers bandwagon, even back 16, 17, 18.
You're a Carolina Hawk. You got a bunch of, yeah, you know, yeah,
so that's pretty funny. I haven't looked at this blog spot in years.
Oh, but, Ben, I'm an idiot. Ben went to the Super Bowl against the Packers and lost to our first Super Bowl.
I was looking that up, so I didn't hear what you said, but right. They lost to the Packers in February 2011, and they won. They went three times. 2005, they beat the Seahawks, and that game had been during Twitter. People, that it would have been a S show because there were so many, the fans felt like there was one side of
the referees and Jerome Bettis references were
on. Right. And then of course, 2008. And also, I don't know if you remember, for instance, cause you were a wee lad, as they say, during the media day with Joey Porter called out the Seahawks tackle, Jeremy. I can't remember his name. He was dating Hope Solo. Like they dated for a while.
And that's
Jeremy,
a tight end.
Jeremy Stevens. I mean, is that his name? Jeremy Stevens. Yes. He had some off-field issues, and he called him out as being soft, and like that again would have been something that would have blown up.
Right.
But there was no Twitter. And then 2008, of course, the San Antonio Humps coach to catch that you mentioned in the back of the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah, my bad. I forgot. Ben obviously went to a third Super Bowl. It was my first Super Bowl in Dallas. So he won two and then lost his third.
Yeah.
And then hasn't been started back since, primarily because of the Patriots and the Chiefs.
Yeah. In fact, I made a list of some of my favorite Big Ben moments, if you want to hear them. And I would actually, if people in the chats have their favorite Big Ben moments, put them in there, and I'll see if Josh is my memory. That's, so,
yeah, if you got a great, if you have a Ben Roethlisberger moment.
What's yours as someone who is not a fan? What sticks out to you immediately when you think of a play Big Ben made? Is it Santonio? Is it something else?
Yeah. I mean, my thing with Big Ben is that inherently, just like with Eli Manning, as a Rivers guy, I always sort of rooted against Ben.
I was going to say, you may not have liked him.
Oh, no, I didn't like Ben. Hated Ben. Hated Eli. Didn't want him to succeed because of, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. And so I don't know what my favorite Big Ben moment. Why don't you.
Debo, do you have one as someone who was a fan of a team across the state?
No.
Peter hates Big Ben.
I didn't even watch the Steelers Cardinals Super Bowl live. I watched American Gangster in my room because I was so upset at the Eagles losing to the Cardinals the week before in the NFC Championship. I just boycotted that Super Bowl entirely. So like the next day I was like, wow, it was a pretty good throw.
It was an all-time great throw.
Did you enjoy that part of the movie, Debo? I think it's from American Gangster, right? Denzel saying, my man.
Oh yeah. That's from Training Day, I think.
No, it's not.
Oh, that is American Gangster.
Thank
right.
you.
I look, I'm spacey today. So
is that that's actually less weird than watching Uncut Gems on your iPhone as you try to go to sleep. I'll give you that. At least you had a reason.
Skipping the Super Bowl to watch American Gangster. That's more weird than watching Uncut Gems on your
iPhone. He was upset, and I understand that. Oh, here's some of my favorite memories in random order. So two game stretch in 2014. Ben Roethlisberger threw 12 touchdowns. 860 total yards, 94 points scored as they beat the Colts and the Ravens, zero interceptions, which is the most remarkable part of that, perhaps. So that's one of them. This is an amazing one. The 2010 season when they went to the Super Bowl, they got there only because in the AFC Championship game against the Ravens, which they always seem to play, it was a rookie, I think his name was Antonio Brown, may I remember him. Third and 19, Roethlisberger uncorks one in the fourth quarter, 58 yards. AB catches it with the side of his helmet to lead them to the eventual win. I think it was 31-24 that game may have ended up. We talk about Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback over the last century than Big Ben in that top five there. They met in 2009 in Pittsburgh. Towards the end of the season, neither team was going to the playoffs, and they combined for 4 million points. Last second touchdown to Mike Wallace in the end zone. On a game where there was literally no defense. And, of course, the Santonio Holmes catch we talked about. Unbelievable. Two plays before that, Santonio Holmes dropped a pass on the other side in the end zone that looked like it would have sealed the game. And even like a month before that, week 15, Santonio made another fantastic catch at the end of the game to beat the Ravens to help secure the division, I believe. So And those are just a handful of ones, not even the ones early on in Big Ben's career.
My favorite memory is probably the quarterback sneak he attempted this year.
No, stop it.
When he fell flat on his face and didn't pick up a yard, despite having a gaping hole in the middle there. No, I mean, I always feel like...
Oh, sorry, I forgot. And I'm surprised you... Power Packers 90, when he tackled the... When Jerome Bettis fumbled in the AFC divisional round in 2005 against the Colts, and Big Ben had to tackle Nick Harper to save... the game-winning, or what could possibly be the game-winning touchdown return, and then Vanderjack kicked one sideways when they had an opportunity to tie it later. I forgot about that one. That's a good one.
I would say that, and look at that, most wins of all time, including playoffs, by a quarterback and coach combination. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, 249. Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin, had they just been able to beat the Chiefs, would have secured their solo place in number two, but are tied with Drew Brees and Sean Payton. So that those two are probably going to stand for a while. I would guess, golly, who's the – I wonder who – so, Tom, if you're watching on YouTube – by the way, smash the like button if you're watching on YouTube. Brady Belichick, number one, 249. That is probably never going to be broken. I mean, it'd be maybe – I mean
– No, never.
Getting broken. Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin, and Breeze Payton, 144 each. Marino and Shula, 122. And Noel Bradshaw, 121. Wild that there's two. That just shows you about the Steelers and the continuity that they've had.
I think that probably the next most likely candidates are Bill Belichick and McCorkle Jones.
I was going to say, Jones, good Patrick Lord. Mahomes already 50 career wins, and that's not even including playoffs. So you factor in round 55?
Yeah. No, he's got eight.
More than that? Yeah.
Because he had four.
10 years is 50.
Is eight playoff wins, so 58 for Mahomes and Reed.
So
they'll probably get to number two unless something, you know.
So 10 years, they average 11 wins a year. That's 110 plus 50, so that's 160. So they get to number two. But that's 10 wins of averaging 11 wins a year. Is that doable?
Yes. No. I think the bigger concern is, like, will A.D. Reed be around that long?
Right, exactly, because he has to be in the 60s by now.
Oh, no!
Oh, he's got his Miami jersey on. Never mind. You're welcome here, Breach.
Guys, I heard Ben Roethlisberger retired.
Why are you smiling ear to ear now that the division belongs to the Bengals? It goes through Cincinnati smiling. Now?
I, Ryan, you got your Steelers stuff on. I had to come on and join you guys. Look,
so, Breach, let me ask you this. Yeah. What is your favorite or least favorite Big Ben memory? Not the memory of the playoff loss in 2015, because he got carted off the field as those terrible Bengals fans were throwing things at him. But your specific Big Ben memory that you may...
By the way, I feel like I'm terrible about specific memories with quarterbacks. Like, I have like a, even with like Peyton Manning, I mean, maybe Tom Brady's a little bit different.
I don't have specific memories either for generally speaking, but like the quarterback stuff, you sort of remember.
Also, it's your quarterback.
Like, right. That's what I mean.
But with Ben, for me, all like what I mostly, when I think of Ben Roethlisberger, I think about him outside the pocket with like two defenders draped on him. And he's just shrugging him off and then bombing the ball down the field. When Ben was at his peak, like that dude was, I mean, sort of Cam Newton-esque, just in terms of like Josh Allen-like.
Better. Although Cam Newton 2015 was pretty good.
I'm not saying Ben was like Josh Allen. I'm saying that for a modern day comp, for someone who can shrug off defenders the way that he can. I mean, most quarterbacks can't do that. Like we haven't seen that many quarterbacks with that mobility and that strength, that combination, just like toss defenders to the side the way Ben did oftentimes during his career.
All right, Breach, what do you got?
I'll give you a good one, a bad one. I'll start with the good. I have a couple good ones because obviously, you know, Ben's football career started at Miami of Ohio, and I was there while he was there. And for me, you know, you go to most people who were raised in Ohio, I would say, grow up huge Ohio State fans as far as college goes. But the fact that I was at a school that had a top 10 team in the country, and that was all because of Ben Roethlisberger. You're talking about a guy who was playing with, you know, two-star recruits at a MAC school, and they were slaughtering everybody. I think my favorite memory was they went to the GMAC Bowl that year, played Bobby Petrino, you know, like the most hated guy. Even then was hated because he was just job jumping. Everybody knew he was just always looking for the next job to take. And Louisville was favored over Miami. And everybody's just like, are you kidding me? We're going to slaughter them. But we go there, play them in Mobile, Alabama. And Miami wins 49-28. And I think it was 7 touchdown passes. I want to say maybe it was 6. But Roethlisberger just diced up Louisville. It was so cool to see his career end like that. And then he announced he was going to the NFL draft after that. All downhill from there.
Let's see. That was 2004. So the Bengals had just drafted Carson Palmer.
That was the 2003 college season. Yeah, 2004 draft.
So they had Carson Palmer. So you weren't, I'm assuming you didn't want them to get.
No. You know what? Honestly, during the draft, I was literally, so I thought personally Roethlisberger was better than Manning and Rivers that year. But that's, you know, I went to Miami with him. That's part homer. I didn't watch all of Eli Manning's games. I didn't watch all of Philip Rivers' games. But I did watch all of Ben Roethlisberger's games, and I thought that he could absolutely succeed in the NFL, and I thought he would. So during the draft, though, I thought for sure he would be one of the first two quarterbacks taken. I was like, yeah, maybe they'll go with Eli, and then Ben will be the second, or maybe they'll get Rivers. I did not think he would be the third. But
by the way, sorry to interrupt you. He threw 4 touchdowns, no interceptions in that game. You remembered it twice as much. But
I mean, it was 49. I know they scored 49. I knew Ben threw a bunch of touchdown passes.
There you go.
Yeah, so literally in that draft, I was only rooting for him not to go to the Steelers. I didn't care where he went. Yeah, I was like, because, you know, you're the Bengals. The Bengals had just gotten Carson Palmer. I didn't expect him, didn't want him to go to the Bengals. I knew that wasn't going to happen. But I was like, I don't care where he goes, as long as he doesn't go to Pittsburgh. And boom, the 11th pick gets announced, and I'm just like, oh, my God.
By the way, you know, there's another backstory to this. I forgot about this. So go back to the 2003 season. Steelers are terrible. They win 6 games that year because Tommy Maddox was Tommy Maddox. I think it's week 17. Jamal Lewis is trying to get to 2,000 rushing yards, and the Ravens are playing the Steelers, either week 17 or week 16. And so Brian Billick, the coach at the time of the Ravens, leaves Jamal Lewis in there to try to get him to reach his mark. They end up beating the Steelers, which allows the Steelers, instead of resting their starters, Ravens going to the playoffs, it allows the Steelers to have the 11th pick as opposed to the 14th or pick or whatever it would have been. So Brian Billick is in part responsible for allowing your dreams to be crushed for a decade or so, Breach.
Well, let's not forget, too, that the Browns at least passed on him once.
They took the tight end, Kellen Winslow Jr.
That's right. They took Kellen Winslow Jr. instead of Big Ben. And Ben absolutely destroyed.
We talk about Aaron Rodgers holding grudges. Big Ben, a little quiet, more quiet about it. Holds grudges as well. A little quieter about it.
Destroyed the Browns for his end. He grew up a Browns fan, I think, right?
I believe so.
He's in Findlay, I think. Yeah,
he's in Findlay. Yeah,
He grew up in Ohio. Like, I believe he was a Browns fan, and
he wasn't a Bengals fan growing up. I don't.
Yeah. No, he was not.
What's the worst memory, Breach?
The worst memory, and you know what? Real quick on the Browns not passing, because again, the Bengals were never going to take him. That was never, you know, I didn't want it. They had Carson Palmer, not a big deal. But the Browns were coming off a season where, like, Kelly Holcomb was horrible. That was, I think, the tail end of Tim Couch's career. Maybe they were afraid to use another top pick on a quarterback because of how much Couch fizzled out. But that was crazy that they passed on him. So my worst memory, and there's a bunch, you know, because Ben Roethlisberger pretty much beat the Bengals all the time until this year. But there is one vivid one because of when it happened and the circumstances. And, you know, obviously the playoff losses. But the 2005 playoff loss, as soon as Carson Palmer got injured, I knew the Steelers were winning. It just, you know, there wasn't, that's not a bad Ben Roethlisberger memory. It was just, it was inevitable. It was a Thanos memory. Again, in 2015, Andy Dalton got hurt before the playoff game and didn't start. And again, going into that game, I didn't think there was any chance the Bengals had. So that's not a Ben Roethlisberger memory. It's a Vontaze Burfict memory or Pac-Man Jones or Jeremy Hill. That's not Ben Roethlisberger. My Ben Roethlisberger memory is the 2006 season, week 17. Oh,
the Steelers were terrible because Big Ben had the motorcycle accident.
New Year's Eve. It is the final game of the season. It is being played on New Year's Eve. It is December 31st.
I remember
that. The Bengals are 8-7. If they win the game, they are in the playoffs. The Steelers are 7-8. They have nothing to play for. So zero. Steelers, the only thing they have to play for is to not finish with a losing record.
And the game's in Paul Brown Stadium, I believe.
The game is at Paul Brown Stadium. I was there.
Oh, you were?
Like, I remember this vividly. And so the Steelers kick a field goal, send it to overtime. And in overtime, you're like, you know what? Ben hasn't really done anything all day. We're good. The Bengals are still going to win this. They're still going to get to the playoffs. Literally 90 seconds into overtime, maybe under 90 seconds. I think it was the Steelers' second or third play. Ben Roethlisberger hits Santonio Holmes on a slant. That's and he right. takes it 67 yards to the house for a touchdown. And the Steelers win 23-17. And the Bengals miss the playoffs. The Steelers get to go 8-8 on a when Roethlisberger almost died in a motorcycle accident 6 months prior. So that would be my least favorite Ben
Roethlisberger. That was Santonio Holmes' rookie season. Big Ben had a terrible year because of the injuries. And that game was their Super Bowl. Bill Cowher retired a short time later.
Yep. Cowher's last game.
Absolutely. That's hysterical.
Four NFL quarterbacks in the history of professional football have 35 or more fourth quarter comebacks. Can you name the four quarterbacks?
Brady.
Well, Ben and Peyton Manning were on the graphic that we just saw.
Ding, ding, ding.
So Brady has to be on there.
Roethlisberger.
Probably Kirk Cousins, some random. So
it's Breeze is the fourth. And I knew if I did three, it would be Brady, Manning, and Ben.
Breeze, let me ask you this.
Do you know who is number five with 34 fourth quarter quarterbacks?
I hope it's Phillip Rivers.
Is it Stafford? I actually was going to guess him at number four. I was like, this is why Brinson's bringing this up right now, so we can get Stafford in the conversation.
Manning has 43, Brady 42, Ben 41. I mean, just my point was like, I think that's the other thing about Ben that I just – if Ben had the ball for as goofy and you know, Roethlisberger as he is, like
lumbering,
he was stone cold in the clutch, man. That guy, when he had the ball, you felt like he was going to try and walk you down. 13 Tom Brady, ridiculous. 35 playoff wins for Tom Brady, Montana, second at 16, and then Manning, Elway, Bradshaw, 14, Big Ben and Favre, 13.
Yeah. Now, you were talking about your sort of general vision of Big Ben as him breaking free of tackles in the backfield. One of the specific memories, Haloti Ngata, and it was must have been a stunning night game because Collinsworth was calling it. Haloti Ngata broke his nose on a play against the Ravens. He stayed in, and I think it may have been the same game, maybe a different game, in which he basically fought off Terrell Suggs, who had him in his grasp and would have tackled any other quarterback, and was able to throw the ball away, which was one of the best incompletions I've ever seen, let alone Big Ben incompletions. And you sort of forget the first 7, 8, 9 years of his career. He was actually mobile, and you talked about it. He's a little Josh
Crazy
Allen.
Mobile.
Never quite that fast, but you could not tackle him in the backfield, and he could actually run a little bit and get around the corner. Obviously, that wasn't going to be the case the last 7 or 8 years or so, but, I mean, the Steelers are the Bengals or the Browns if they don't have Big Ben over the last 18 years.
That's actually a great what-if. Like, let's say that, you know, Brian Billick doesn't run it up with Jamal Lewis, and the Steelers never get Ben.
They take Sean Andrews, a guard out of Arkansas, for Tommy Mack.
It's easy to point. It's like the Steelers have had continuity for 50 years and only had ex coaches. Like, well, that's what happens when you have two Hall of Fame quarterbacks back to back. You know, it's like the Packers, Steelers.
Yeah. Again, the hallmark is Breach. Would you rather them have taken Sean Andrews or Big Ben? And I'm sure Breach is a Bengals fan. We all know the answer.
An offensive lineman or a 2-time Super Bowl winning quarterback.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we can't talk about Ben without mentioning his off-field issues. You know, Breach touched on the motorcycle accident where he's riding a motorcycle without a helmet. And there was, of course, the sexual assault allegations filed. He was never, he was suspended by the NFL, never actually convicted of anything. You know, those things can be a little tricky when it comes to, you know, how the legal process goes through versus how the NFL handles it. Certainly, I think, I mean, it's, you know, the guy's retiring. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback, slam dunk, but you can't really talk about, I mean, you have to bring that up as part of his legacy, right? I mean, like that, it complicates things, right, Wilson?
Oh, of course. In 2010, when this was all coming to a head, I wanted them to trade him, and I was trying to figure out landing spots. I was like, let's trade him to the Rams for Sam Bradford straight up. Or maybe they had the first overall pick and they ended up taking Sam Bradford. I was willing to make that deal. Someone reported on Thursday that Mike Singletary said that he vetoed a deal for Big Ben to go to San Francisco. I don't know how much truth there is to that. I think Pro Football Talk talked about that. I don't know if there's any veracity to that as well, just because I don't know how much pull Mike Singletary had, and he wasn't there very long. But I think there were some conversations, probably, I would have to imagine, inside the organization about what to do with Roethlisberger, because there were some serious allegations. Now, as we noted when we were looking at the family picture there during his goodbye video, he seems to have gotten himself on the straight and narrow and has done and said all the right things over the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years or so. So, you know, credit to him for that, but there's no sort of hiding from the other stuff that led us to that point.
Yeah. And, you know, there was two of them. And I think that is the key that you got to remember. This wasn't like a one-time situation where he got drunk and made the wrong decision. And not that excuses anything. He still needs to be punished and you still have to talk about it. But you had the one in Nevada in July 2008, and then you had the one in Georgia in March 2010, and you know, that's just, it's unacceptable, and it's a stain on your life, it's a stain on your career. You've probably ruined these, you know, these people are going to be the women in this situation. This is something they're going to think about the rest of their lives. And I know, Brinson, you mentioned he didn't get charged with anything, but you know, he did settle definitely the Nevada case in a civil lawsuit, and I don't remember exactly what happened at the end of the Georgia case. But so there is, you know, obviously when you make a settlement, you're not admitting guilt, but you're kind of trying to put that behind you. And so, yeah, I do agree with Wilson that he's done and said all the right things for the past 12 years, but you know, those women have to live with that for the past 12 years. So there's no getting around it. And I think it's absolutely something that needs to be talked about when he's up for the Hall of Fame in 2027.
So, I mean, I remember we covered this at Fan House. Like, we were working at Fan House at the time, and it was, I mean, but I'm trying to recall specifically, did he appeal his suspension down to?
Yeah, four? I think it may have gotten reduced. It may have been 6 down to 4, but Byron Leftwich actually started those games in 2010, and they,
oh my God, that's right. That's crazy.
The first game this year, I believe, I have to double check. I've looked real quickly. I think it was against the Titans. I think they beat the Titans.
Falcons. They won 15. They won 3 of 4. Falcons, they won 15-9. Titans, 19-11.
And then, you know what? Here's what happened. Is the Buccaneers in there, too?
Yep, beat the Buccaneers.
So, Byron got hurt. Charlie Batch had to come in.
That's right.
And he was winging the ball down in Tampa Bay. They won that game because I think Mike Wallace had a big game, and this is all memory, as I used to watch those games a lot more closely than I do now. But that's right.
Three catches for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns for Mike Wallace that day. Yep, yeah. Charlie Batch played the whole game. Man, that's wild.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy that he missed those 4 games and then they go to the Super Bowl.
That's also how it happened with the Flategate, right?
Right.
Yep.
So,
yeah. That's how I mean,
yeah. Obviously, for different reasons. It was the stupid football.
Oh, you know what? Suspended for 4 games. Super Bowl.
I think you're wrong about, did Leftwich start week 1?
Yeah, it may have been Dennis Dixon.
It was Dennis Dixon. Yeah, it was Dennis Dixon.
So Leftwich came in, I think, at some point when Big Ben got hurt. He played against the Dolphins and did really well, if I'm recalling correctly. But that's right. Dennis Dixon started. He struggled.
Dennis Dixon.
Out of Oregon.
Yep.
Because he was a mobile quarterback, maybe a little ahead of his time, struggled with accuracy. And then Charlie Batch came in, who was so much fun to watch. He was just a old school gunslinger.
Yeah. They beat a... And because remember that Tampa Bay team that they beat was coached by Raheem Morris, who had replaced
Josh Freeman, the quarterback then?
Josh Freeman and Josh Johnson played in that game. But
Mike Tomlin
was on the staff with Raheem Morris in Tampa Bay when they won the Super Bowl, right?
Right. I think Raheem Morris is pretty young. That was 2002, so I'm not sure.
I'm positive they were on the staff at the same time.
Okay.
Because I was looking – because the running gag was Sean McVay. You know, Washington had Sean McVay. But Tampa had Sean McVay and Mike Tomlin. So I think Tomlin. Yeah. Tomlin's a two-time Super Bowl winner. One as assistant coach and once as a head coach.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, Ben, yeah, I mean, it's a, it was a thing, you know, I mean, it was a big deal.
Complicated
it was
legacy.
The story of the offseason, if I recall correctly, in 2010.
It was a huge story.
Yeah. And he is I saw somebody in the chat maybe suggested he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. He is 100% a first ballot
Hall of Famer. Unless he gets punished for his off-field stuff and gets held to the second ballot.
The Hall of Fame notoriously says that it's on-field that matters, not off-field.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people thought Terrell Owens was going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He wasn't like – he didn't do anything off the field. He was just a jerk to the media.
Right, and so I'm saying that they say – that they're not taking it into account, that they might. I mean, he's going to get in. There's no doubt about it. And I'm saying the one way you'd punish him is making him a second. I don't have a Hall of Fame vote. I'm just telling you based on what we've seen from.
Owens is the only example, and people just didn't like Terrell Owens. And Terrell Owens was a absolute slam dunk first ballot Hall of Famer. I think the only way. So I guess Rivers Rivers didn't play this year. I'm trying to think, are Eli and Rivers up in the same year? No, Eli retired 2 years ago, right?
Rivers and Breeze are up the same year. Manning's a year before.
Yeah, so.
It's going to be hysterical when Manning gets in and Rivers has to wait 3 years. Brinson's going to go on a tirade.
Yep.
Or what if Brady and Gronk both retire this year?
Philip Rivers may never get in. Is that what you're saying?
There's a path. That's the path for Ben Roethlisberger not to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Is Tom Brady and Gronk retired this year?
Gronk ain't getting in before Big Ben. Get out of here.
He's a great. What? He's better at his position.
I was going to say, who's better at their position? You think Ben's a better quarterback than Gronk was a tight end?
No.
Yes.
Gronk is the Tom Brady of tight ends.
He didn't.
What if Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady both retired this year?
Oh, man. You can't put all three quarterbacks in the same year.
Why not?
They're weird like that. They defer to it. That's like why it's easier that Eli, Rivers, and Ben are all separate classes because
there's no way on God's green earth that Gronkowski is getting in before Big Ben. That's just idiotic.
Clip it and save, Devo.
Clip it and save it.
I'm team Brinson Breach on this one.
Yeah.
That's all right. You also watched American Gangsters and watching the Steelers win the Super Bowl, Devo.
I don't regret it.
One of the greatest.
My man.
All right. So. Oh, yeah. We got to give away a Paramount Plus gift card.
Ooh.
Oh, nice. I'm here
for that. Really want to be here for that.
Congratulations. Mike Kenny, you are our Paramount Plus winner. You get a $100 gift card. Debo will reach out to you. Thanks to everyone for listening, for subscribing, for rating.
Real quick, I'm going to extend this. Did we talk about what's next for the Steelers at quarterback?
Oh, we didn't. Good call, Debo. I'm punch drunk right now.
They are trading their first round pick, Dwayne Haskins and Mason Rudolph, to Cincinnati for Joe Burrow.
That would be amazing.
Like, Breach, would you quit watching football if that happened?
But it happens. It happens this week. So,
what's his name?
Brad, it's so preposterous. I can't even give it an answer.
Burrow doesn't even play in the AFC Championship game.
Would that be more devastating than the 2016 January playoff loss?
Wait, what do the Bengals get in return?
Does it matter? They get a first-round pick, the 20th overall pick.
Mason Seven first-round picks?
And sure. I'll go give you seven first-round picks.
No, we don't want seven first-round
picks. I was going to say, you're not going to do it.
No deal.
So Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins will an opportunity.
You wouldn't trade Burrow to the Steelers for seven first-round picks?
No, I wouldn't. That'd be idiotic.
You're not even allowed to trade seven.
Right. What about 70? Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins will get a chance, as Mike Tomlin has stated, but he said it in a fashion in which it felt like he wasn't serious. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers you would love to get, but as Brinson and I talked about on HQ, Nathaniel Hackett is now the guy in Denver, and we know that Aaron Rodgers loves Nathaniel Hackett based on his comments from a year and a half ago. Russ Wilson, Pittsburgh isn't a big market area. Deshaun Watson, we just talked about a quarterback that had some off-field stuff. I don't know if you want to bring another guy in. That's usually not how the organization approaches these things. So then there's the draft. I mean, is Derek Carr an upgrade? Yeah. Is he worth the 20th overall pick? You know what? He might be, like, for real. They have a lot of cap space. Like, Derek Carr, fix the offensive line. I don't hate that. I wanted Marcus Mariota a few years ago, but clearly Marcus Mariota, I don't think he's no longer an answer. Danny Cannell has said previously, our coworker, that Jameis Winston. I don't want Jameis Winston. I am all out on Jameis. I would be more upset than the Steelers, than Breach would be had the Steelers traded for Joe Burrow if the Steelers get Kirk Cousins. Like, I do not want, under any circumstances, Kirk Cousins. What are you making a face for, Brinson? You think that makes sense?
If you have to deal with 1 year of Kirk Cousins versus the Bengals trading their franchise,
I would be livid
inside the division. I think Breach would be a little more upset.
But my point is that it would be almost the worst case. I would rather
you'd have Joe Burrow tattooed right here, and you would wear like a little low hanging, or you'd get Joe Burrow tattooed on your forehead.
Ryan Finley, maybe.
And no, but you would taunt. I mean, Breach would have to quit his job and move to.
My point is that why
Antarctica.
Why give up anything for Kirk Cousins when you could just start Mason Rudolph for a year and then fix the quarterback situation a year from now?
I think the Steelers quarterback thing is really interesting because you have whoever's coming in is replacing a Hall of Famer, but there's a good enough roster, more or less, outside of the offensive line, that this is a playoff caliber team. We know, with a great head coach in Mike Tomlin, who's never had a losing season.
They never had salary cap space. They have a ton this year. All you need is a couple offensive linemen, and you need some pieces on defense, but I think, like, Derek Carr seems reasonable, and I think it does cost you a first-round pick. I'm fine giving up the 20th overall pick for Derek Carr.
You would rather have Derek Carr over Kirk Cousins?
Yes.
I mean, what are we doing?
Would you agree, Brinson?
Yeah, I would take Derek Carr I mean, I think he'd be more expensive to acquire, but he is cheaper to maintain.
Now, look, I'll trade a fourth-round pick for Kirk Cousins, sure. I'm not giving up 1 cent more than that.
I wouldn't want Cousins with his contract.
And Breach, I think you've said this. It seems like his teammates don't even like him that much. Was that us that talked about that?
Yeah, I mean, but maybe his teammates in Pittsburgh will like him.
Yeah, your teammates in Cincinnati would love that his teammates in Pittsburgh hate him.
I think
Jimmy Garoppolo, no thank you. Someone, Jaron Franklin, mentioned that in the chat. I don't want Jimmy Garoppolo. Not for a second round pick. No.
Do you think the Steelers are... Like, what are the Steelers doing? Like, what is the state of their organization relative, like a rebuild, reload, retool? You know what I mean? Like,
won't say rebuild. I don't know. I mean, they won nine games this year, which is insane. I think they won more games than the Chargers, or as many games as the Chargers. Think about that. Again, the playoffs, offensive line is going to get better because they're young and you can add a few pieces, especially at center. They need to bolster the defense. I don't know if Stephon Tua, the talk now is that the people aren't sure if he's going to play again. Cam Hayward's going to be older, but they have TJ Watt. They have Minkah Fitzpatrick. They need some help at cornerback. I think they're perfectly replacement level team, which is a 500 team or 9-7-1 team. You need a quarterback. You have Najee Harris. You have Deontay Johnson. You can bring back Juju Smith-Schuster if he wants to come back, and he says he does. We'll see. I think they're probably 16 teams that would love to be the Steelers, and there are 15 teams that are glad they're not the Steelers. I don't think they're in a bad spot. I'm actually sort of interested to see how this plays out. It'll be sort of fun to watch, knowing that you don't have a franchise quarterback, how you fix it and make it work. But I think realistic, like Aaron Rodgers, I would 3 first round picks I'm giving up for. I think Denver's number one if we're thinking he's not coming to Green Bay. For me right now.
Yeah, I guess my question is like, Kevin Colbert is retiring, right? Didn't it?
There's conversations.
There was like a conflicting report from John.
Either Clinton. This year or next year. But I think the hire will probably be in-house, it sounds like. But just so I'll say quickly, at the top of my realistic quarterback wish list, it is, in fact, I can't believe this, Derek Carr. Because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a possibility. If he's a possibility, for sure. But Derek Carr for the 20th overall pick. If you're the Raiders, are you trading Derek Carr for the 20th overall pick?
Well, let me ask you real quick. What would you give up for Aaron Rodgers?
Three
first-rounders?
Yeah.
Because then you have a 2-year window where you're probably the Super Bowl favorite behind the Chiefs.
He's playing for 3 years. That's fine. You're always going to be behind
the Chiefs. But you're a top 3 team in the AFC for as long as he's your quarterback.
Right. Yeah. That's worth it. Because again, we overvalue these first round picks.
I would guess that what we see from the Steelers could end up being really similar to what we saw in Baltimore, where Ozzie Newsome, final year as a GM, conducts one last draft with Eric. I mean, and look, when Ozzie's making the, what you do is as the outgoing GM, you're making the picks, but I mean, it's being made in concert with Eric DaCosta, the guy,
it seems like that's probably coming in house. And like Ozzie Newsome said, Kevin Colbert said the same thing. I want to leave this place in better shape than when I got here.
Right, of course. And sorry.
No, I was going to say, even at 20, like if none of these things happen, then at 20, draft a quarterback. The top quarterback I want is Matt Corral because he can run for his life.
And maybe it's Kenny Pickett. Maybe it's Sam Howell. I mean,
it better not be Sam Howell.
I know you don't like him, but Sam Howell can run for his life too. My point being is that when you do that as an organization, like Lamar Jackson is Ozzie Newsome's pick. If Lamar Jackson hadn't worked out for whatever reason, Eric DaCosta was not going to take the fall for it, but Eric DaCosta gets all the credit for it because he was. And so I think, let's say it's Omar Khan that they promote to be the new GM, which I think he's the odds on favorite.
I'm laughing because in the comments, some people keep saying, what about Andy Dalton to a 1-year deal to serve as a bridge quarterback? And Stephen B says Andy Dalton would be on the IR by quarter two of week one.
My God, which is true. Andy Dalton as the Steelers week one quarterback would be incredible.
Andy Dalton or Kirk Cousins?
I would just want Dalton. So Wilson has to hate.
I'm fine with, I don't hate.
I don't think Dalton would be horrible in Pittsburgh, to be honest.
I don't want Kirk Cousins. Andy Dalton would be much more affordable. Anyway, go ahead with the.
He's open to it. He just opened. There's a path.
There's a path.
Andy Dalton siding with the Steelers.
Oh my God, what if Andy Dalton? That would be actually incredible if
Andy Dalton beats the Bengals twice.
No, but Andy Dalton beats Bengals
twice. And those are the Steelers' only two wins of the season.
Wrong.
But the Steelers actually win 9 games with Andy Dalton, and it's all full circle with Wilson's. There's a path.
That would be it. Yes.
Sweet, sweet mercy. At any rate, it wouldn't be shocking if Colbert comes in, runs the draft, and then steps away. Omar Khan takes over, and you draft that quarterback with one of your first-round picks, believing that he's the next guy.
Sam Darnold's a name that's been thrown around the chat, too. Hard pass on Sam Darnold.
What about Ryan Fitzpatrick for a year?
Hard pass on Ryan Fitzpatrick. He can't even. He's like an old man now. He's had hip replacement surgery.
Phillip Rivers?
No, no Tyrod Taylor.
What about Mitchell Trubisky?
That's
intriguing. Now, here's the thing. You know, we joke about Mitch Trubisky. You're giving up the 20th overall pick to draft Matt Corral. Matt Corral could very easily be worse than Mitch Trubisky. We just don't know. So I would trade. I don't think I trade. I'm not trading a third rounder for Mitch Trubisky. Would you trade a third rounder for Mitch Trubisky?
Well, I don't think you have to trade anything because his contract. He said he won your deal in Buffalo.
Oh.
To be free agent.
And they won't tag him, obviously, because you have to pay him.
What do you think of going to free agent?
Trubisky would be intriguing.
Derek Carr is number one for first round pick. And then Mr. Trubisky you signed to.
I would much rather have Trubisky as a free agent competing with Dwayne Haskins, who I think at least you have to.
Ooh, I don't hate that because he can run.
Well, and a commenter just brought up the name I was going to bring up because obviously I have to.
No.
Would you trade a third round pick for Gardner Minshew?
No, of course not.
My God.
Although I will say this, I don't think he minds me speaking on school. Our buddy, JJ, what's JJ's last name? I can't remember JJ's last name.
Jonathan Jones.
No, works for Baseball America, lives in Durham.
JJ Whiteside.
JJ Cooper.
JJ Cooper. Right. We used to do Steelers block together. I spaced on his last name, but we were talking the other day, and he said he wouldn't hate the idea of Gardner Minshew, not for a third round pick because he's not insane, but just coming in there winging the ball around. I don't know. There's too much silliness going on with Gardner. I'd rather have Mr. Trubisky. I think. Would you rather have Mr. Trubisky or Gardner Breach?
You know what I want?
Trubisky.
Okay.
I want Gardner Minshew traded for a third round pick.
And where?
To Pittsburgh. And Andy Dalton signed as a free agent.
Oh, jeez.
And then Andy Dalton beats out Gardner Minshew.
Guess what I'll be doing on Sundays? Watching American Gangster.
Andy Dalton signs with the Steelers. I am buying Wilson an Andy Dalton Steelers jersey.
You heard it here first. I'll wear it every Sunday.
And he has to wear it every podcast.
Wait, don't you have to take a bath in Cincinnati Chili Breach?
Oh, we got to cut it, man. I'm pretty sure I said if Randy Bullock beats the Bengals with a 50-yarder. Nobody sent the clip because I think that's what I said. But again, I don't remember, so I could be wrong.
Wilson just left. Now SportsCenter is running the Big Ben complicated legacy pieces, which should be not surprising at all. Gardner Minshew under contract for one more year with Debo's Eagles. So this would just be a very incestuous move if the Steelers traded a third round pick for Ben Roethlisberger, for Gardner Minshew.
To be hilarious.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it for the demo. Debo, do we need to do anything else? Wait for Wilson to come back?
No, let's end this thing. Right. Wilson's not here. Kind of like Big Ben being absent for the past.
I'll wave twice.
Seasons.
My goodness.
One hand for Wilson, one hand for me.
All right. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will probably see you guys again on. You know what? Oh my God. 25 minutes. We'll be doing a live show where we make picks for the conference championship. So don't leave your YouTube page just quite yet.
You're not going to have a voice, Brinson. You're not going to be able to talk on Sunday. We have to meet Wilson host the show.
I'm going
to
eat some food. All right. See you guys later.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.